This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line and the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line. Jump onto theoutdoorline.com right now. Go do it, really. And click on the blog segment. You're going to see Dwayne England's excellent blog, Fishing Pink Rubber Worms. Pink rubber worms for steelhead.
Pink rubber worms.
They're not just rubber, but they're worms, yes. No, you're right. Well, there's a bunch of different formulations of them. And of course, everybody's talking about the holy worms. But let's just dive into this from a technical standpoint, Robbo.
Let's just start with why steelhead even hit them to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I would go down and terrorize the salmon and steelhead smolts in the local creek with night crawlers.
You throw
a night crawler in there, and 50 of them would attack that thing. It'd be a tug of war, right? And I think it's that instinct that they're born with to hit that worm in the river, in the creek, when the rains come up and wash all that stuff down into the creek, there's worms coming down, and those little guys are running out and grabbing those things. When they come back as adults, they don't forget that, okay? You throw that pink rubber worm in there, given the right water conditions, and they just hammer them, much the same as those little smolts did when I was a kid down there with my bucket, filling my bucket up with smolts, you know?
There was a good reason back in the 80s, from time to time, my dad would actually fish night crawlers in the Puyallup for steelhead and do very well, or South Prairie Creek back in the day when it was open. So, it's a recognizable bait that they will actually pursue.
And it really works a lot better for wild steelhead. You see pictures floating around Facebook and all over the internet of a lot of these big steelhead this time of year, and a lot of them are caught on pink rubber worms.
Well, a lot of it
big worms.
Has to do with profile. Big fish,
big bait.
And that's where
we're talking 6-inch worms. And most of the ones we're going to talk about are high floaters. You know, you got Danny Joe's high floaters made over on the East Coast. Of course, these holy worms made by B&R Tackle. Bob Ball is a big proponent of those.
And that's more of a neutral buoyancy worm. They don't sink to the bottom.
They're floaters. Oh, yeah, they float. Definitely,
but not as much as some of the really
they're
light
floaters.
Worms.
No,
they're
straight floaters,
up, they're
man. They're straight up floaters, and the nice thing about those holy worms and Bob Ball, if you're gonna watch a guy,
he's
the one that kind of got me into fishing worms to begin with. He came up with this way of drift fishing them. When I used to fish them, I fished them under a float.
Yeah,
and I would grab some sinking worms, like some zoom worms. They're of course popular in the bass industry. They sink.
Yep.
You can fish them under a float really well. Well, Bob started, he's like, you know what? I can't get the gear down where I need to be. I'm going to start drift fishing these things. And he came up with a way to fish them on a really short leader, drift fish them, and he started hammering some fish. And a lot of us kind of followed Bob and did the same thing and came up with the same program. Now he's fishing those holy worms in the nightmare pattern.
Right.
Dwayne, you and I were talking about that before the segment. Having a lot of success out there in that Forks area on big steelhead with that program.
Well, it's come so far in the industry, like everything else, as it evolves. And I kind of alluded to it in the blog there. You have your choice. I mean, you have worms that sink, worms that float, worms that are recognized as high floaters. You have different sizes of worms and, of course, color. Mm-hmm. You know, before it was, I mean, I remember years ago reading an article in STS on pink worms on the Wainucci. And that was kind of like, wow, really? Pink worms on the Wainucci? Okay. It's evolved so much since then, the last 10, 15 years, based on those components I just mentioned, and you know, color is becoming a huge one. And so the nightmare one now in the clear water especially, I mean, has its place. And of course we got UV worms from steelhead stalkers. That is kind of the new innovation in the industry in the worm realm. You got worms that now, you know, put out a nice UV that in your off colored water is gonna be beneficial. So when you're standing in the fishing aisle at whatever store, go down to Sportco. Go to Outdoor Emporium. Look at the amount of worms you have to choose from. You think you're standing in the worm aisle for bass fishing.
But, yeah, you know, or run over to Three Rivers and get some of those B&R worms. The nice thing about those holy worms is they don't get that worm scrunchy thing. And any of the steelhead fishermen out there that are listening, you know what I'm talking about. You got to thread the worm, and it's a pain. I mean, I did this. I guided full time, and I'd go through a roll of worms a day in the springtime. It takes an hour plus to rig up a roll of worms.
It's time-consuming,
with these holy worms, they don't get the worm scrunchy. They're made out of really tough plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You hit a fish, it scrunches that thing down. You just straighten it out, and you're back to fishing
back to fish
again.
It doesn't tear it and fall apart. Yeah,
a lot less gear. So there's two types of worms you want to look at. Floaters and sinkers.
Yep.
If you're going to side drift with these things, don't buy sinking worms. You will lose.
No, you're going to
10 seconds.
You're going to hate it.
Oh, you'll
you're
hate gonna it.
Definitely
side
hate
drifting,
it.
Drift fishing, or even float dogging, because again, you're dragging the weight. And, you know, and it, so you use a floater, a high floater worm, and you got to stay with a short leader. Guys, oftentimes
got to run that, a short leader.
You put that 3 foot leader on there because you think you're side drifting or whatever, or, you know, even a longer leader, you're missing it because it's floating.
Pretty much an 18 inch leader, maybe 24 inches, maybe.
Well, 24 is a good benchmark.
That's an excellent point, and Dwayne, and it bears repeating because the more flotation you got on your piece of terminal gear, the shorter leader you must
use. Absolutely.
And it's not a situation where you need to manipulate that with regard to water clarity. But it's regard with to the flotation and what you're fishing. If you've got a 3 foot leader, man, you're going to have that thing too far, too high out of the strike zone, and you're not going to be able to control it or place it, you know, in little short runs. So shorter leaders, definitely the way to go with high flotation gear.
And if I was going to go buy some of these right now, I would get some pink worms, some methylate colored worms. They're really
methylate.
Bright. Really bright. So in off colored water, they stick out like a Christmas tree down there. And you then bet. I would buy some nightmare worms. As the water clears up, those nightmare worms, and if you don't know what a nightmare jig is, it's red and black and white.
Or the white head,
It's a lot more subtle than your pink worm. And the guys out there, I'm telling you, Bob Ball and these guys, I was talking to Ken Alger over at Three Rivers Marine yesterday, and he said, you know what? They're fishing bait on the bow rod, a worm on the stern rod, because there's two guys in the drift boat, front and back, and the stern rod's getting, you know, more bites than the bait is. They're passing up the bait to hit the darn worm.
It's the action on those worms. And so let's talk about, you know, a number of ways, as I also pointed out in the blog there, of how to rig them, because guys are like, well, you know, I'm not real comfortable in fishing these because I don't know how to rig them. Well, we already mentioned you can drift fish them, you can float dog them, which is very effective. And again, sticking with a short leader, and of course me, I'm going to run it with my Bowback float and my stick lead, because the only thing I'm replacing is that terminal end, that leader length, and getting the bait out of there and fishing that worm. So 4, 5, 6 inch worm, if it's moderate floating worm, you might run a corky or a cheater with it. If it's a high floater, you still can run a corky or a cheater. You're not really increasing your buoyancy, but you're just doing some additional color contrast if that's what you're after. But then, you can fish them under a float. If we're going to fish them suspended under a float, and I like to fish it and pin my float. I don't like a sliding float. I like to just run it through there at a certain depth. And if you're going to fish an inverted worm, and that's also in the blog, you can fish it with, you get a non-floater. You know, you get a neutral buoyant or non-floater worm, and you want to fish that inverted. So head down, thread it on, and the thing the guys want to do is when you pin that through with your worm threader, don't run that leader all the way through where it's coming out the tail. You want to actually have that worm bend over about two-thirds
of
the way.
That way
you
get some action out of it.
Yeah, because if it's not bent over and kind of hanging upside down, it's going to not have the action. And you know what works well there, too, is if you grab some of those, you got your choice. You got paddle tail, those curly tails. Those curly tail worms add a tremendous amount of action on that inverted hanging worm. There's also a photo in there where it's ran on a bullet sinker or a weighted head, right? So you fish that worm inverted under a float, and you slide it down on top of a bullet sinker with a bead on top of your hook. Now you're fishing it pretty much like a jig. You know, you think about how a jig is going to fish. In the water you're looking to fish that in,
you're not dragging it on the bottom. You're bringing it through
fishing
about a foot
suspended.
Off the bottom.
Yep.
The other thing you want to do with these rubber worms, you don't want to sit in one hole and just pound the heck out of it.
No.
You want to keep moving because you're looking for aggressive fish. A few passes through a hole, if you're not getting bit, move on down.
And that's why fishing them suspended under a float along structure, along wood.
Oh, man, you get in along the lumber, around boulders.
Run that float right tight to that wood and that structure. Absolutely, man.